Welcome back, everyone, to this 20th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm good. Should we call this episode 20B?
Yeah, I did kind of a rookie mistake, and we weren't recording Ruby's side. And as much as I would love to release that as a podcast, just me talking, it probably wouldn't work so well, just me talking to myself. So.
Answering your imaginary friend.
Yeah, laughing at nothing. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, here we are again doing this over. Luckily, we didn't record the entire show, but... So if we're really quick with this one, it's because we already said all this stuff like 5 minutes ago.
We already did this and we're bored now. You know what, though? This is our first rehearsal ever, because I decided it was a rehearsal, so we're not doing too bad.
I haven't done a mistake like that in probably years.
So. You were due then.
Yeah.
So how are you this week?
Oh, I am fine. I am doing wonderful. No, I'm doing good. I've been playing a lot of other games besides Guild Wars, I know.
Aww. Guild Wars is
disappointing. Well, like I was saying last time, Massively has a live stream, and we do this quite a bit. Last night I played with it a little bit on a game called Zentia. And what we're trying to do is set up this kind of like MMO show kind of a thing for Massively. And part of that, and the reason I'm mentioning this on Guildcast, is because we'd like to do it with Guild Wars too. Ruby actually has a kind of a regular Guild Wars night, and we all have pretty much our own regular nights, and it's just a matter of, you know, throwing on the live stream and actually recording it. So now Ruby may not do that this time, because weren't you saying that...
We have to ascend in prophecies tonight, yeah. And I'm embarrassed for you guys to see me beating my doppelganger without PvE skills, so maybe next week.
Yeah, but so, I mean, eventually it's something we'd like to get into into a regular schedule,
yeah.
And then you guys can kind of check us out and play Guild Wars and things like that. And
yeah,
definitely Guild Wars 2 when that comes out.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course. But in the meantime, we have a little bit of time to wait. But
yeah.
I'll try to stream that very, very soon since, you know, Sean's doing all this passive-aggressive suggestion thing.
Hey, I made the passive-aggressive joke last time.
Yeah, but nobody heard it, so I could
Darn.
Steal it. Nobody will care.
Darn.
I'm just faster.
Yeah.
So, no, once I'm through my ascension embarrassment, maybe I'll stream and let everybody watch.
Cool. I think that would be cool.
I think it would, too. I'm glad I had that idea.
So, what have you been up to this last week?
Well, some guildies and I beat Domain of Anguish. Stop me if you've heard this. We beat Domain of Anguish, and this is actually, I know people clear it all the time, and I know there's a meta team build running around at this point. We did not use that. Our guild is, we're big fans of what we call BYOB, bring your own build. We kind of have this universal hate for bringing people in your group, telling them to ping, and then building their skill bar for them. It just, you know, we don't like to be told how to play.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So we've been doing bring your own build, and we may not have cleared it in a couple hours. It took us a very long time, but there's a group of us that have done DOA from beginning to end. And this week we beat Malix. And that was literally the first time ever in Guild Wars I have done that on any character.
That's so awesome. I need to insert like a clapping audience soundbite here.
You really do, because that was hard. So, and then cool. I played Minecraft for like 72 hours in 2 days.
Oh, I was going to say, was that just today? But yeah, 2 days.
Okay. It was that game. It just eats you.
I have not downloaded it yet. I'm afraid to. I mean, although from all the descriptions people have told me, it sounds like it would be right up my alley. Somebody, I think it was John Shute at Van Hemlock, he described it as the best crafting game with no one around to bother you or something like that. And I'm like, that's the best game ever. Like,
that's pretty much what it
how
is.
How do I sign up? But I'm just resisting it. I'm so scared of it. I'm scared of the power of Minecraft.
You should be. This game is horrible in the best way possible. No, it really is just the core of crafting. I mean, you literally start out with nothing and punch a tree to make some sticks. And you go and you build like a pickaxe out of these sticks of wood that you have, and then you start like beating rock to get cobblestone, and you build a better pickaxe, and eventually you build, I mean, I think everybody in the world has seen the YouTube videos of like these soaring 100-foot structures.
Yeah.
That you
can
build.
The Enterprise.
Yeah, some guy made a scale model of the Enterprise. It was insane.
Actually, I watched a few of those videos, and I saw one where a guy made a working computer, and I'm like, that, what? Like, that's insane.
Oh, is that the thing, like, he made it add?
Yeah, he made it add some numbers. It was a really basic computer, but it was just the fact that he made a computer, like, he made the RAM and everything.
The possibilities are literally endless.
It's insane. But the guy who made it, now, okay, well, this isn't Minecraft cast, but the guy who made it, it made like $350 million or something like that already.
It was insane.
And it's still an alpha. The game hasn't even released yet. It's just insane.
Well, and that's the thing, the game, and this is why you need to get it. It is like the Guild Wars business model. I'm not helping, am I?
No, you're not.
I think it's still on sale. I got it. It was, when I bought it, it was half the price that he's going to charge once it goes up, which was $13.95 US, I think, is what I paid. Hmm. And that is a deal.
But is it a deal when everything else in your life gets neglected? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, come on. Of course it is. No, but it is. It's just so much fun because you can do anything you can think of.
Man. Okay. Maybe it'll tide me over till Guild Wars 2.
Oh, my gosh. You won't even notice the time passing, okay? You will, like, starve.
I want people to write in and tell me not to buy it. It might be too late by then.
It might be too late. It is. What's fun, though, is that, you know, he's still doing updates, and there's a very cool Halloween update coming. And one of the things that he said was that he's going to introduce some new monsters. He said, these are actually going to be hard. And I'm like, wait a minute. The creepers are still blowing my face off every time I leave my house. So I'm still having problems with the current monsters.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but
they have these creepers, and they honestly, I think I read that it was like a botched model of, I think it was supposed to be a pig, and it got all screwed up.
Oh, wow.
So he recolored it green, and I swear to you, they look like little cucumbers on legs. And they sneak up behind you. They don't make any noise. They sneak up behind you, and your entire warning is like a 1.5 second like a fuse noise, and then it explodes and blows a giant hole in the ground. It blows a giant hole in you.
Oh.
And that's hard enough, thanks. I'm all good. But then if you kill them, they will drop gunpowder, which can be used to make TNT, and then you can blow your own holes in things.
Oh.
It's so cool.
See, we didn't talk about this the first time we recorded, and it's going to take up the rest of the show, isn't it?
I've done, I swear, I promise. So Guild Wars 2, Transmutation Stones, quick.
Yes. Wait, what is that? Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but let me tell you about my house in Minecraft. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, yeah, they released another blog post this week, and by they, of course, I mean writing that. Last week, there was the kind of hidden bomb about transmutation stones and about how these are going to be charged, you know, to kind of change the appearance of your armor and mutate armor pieces into each other. Yeah, to make something better. And people went a little nuts about it, just a little. And we actually have we have like almost 50 emails and 27 comments on the last show. Completely revolving around that. So we're going to read the emails, not all of them. I'm going to pick and choose through the best subject lines. So if you want me to read your email, make a really poppy kind of subject line that really stands out. Don't make like stars all around it and like flashing. No, but
add a virus.
Yeah, add a virus. That'll get my attention. No. So I'm going to read through as many of these as I can. But first we're going to talk about the actual news itself that happened this week. They addressed the questions that were asked by many of the people in the forums, and they made a little Q&A about it. Now, anyone knows that NCSoft, the way they work is very meticulous and very exact. The questions that they're going to answer are ones that they, you know, they have to be approved and all this stuff. I mean, you guys probably remember the questions that we were sending off to them a couple months ago.
Like 2 months we sent those questions
in. Yeah, I don't think those are ever going to get answered because, I mean, they're just really, exact on what they can answer and what they can't answer.
Well, we asked for an interview as soon as this transmutation stone information came out, too.
Yeah, for Massively, and they said we're not doing interviews at this time. So it was essentially, you know, I mean, the reason they do this is so that they can have these blog posts, you know, the following week to kind of officially address the issues without some journalist adding their two cents, you know what I mean? So it's I can understand that, but it's a little frustrating on our part, I guess. But so they released this thing, and it was to address the fact that last week they said, you know, these transmutation stones are going to be in the item shop, and you know, and this is what they're going to do. So people are like, wait, what's going on here? You know, how much is this going to cost? Like, what exactly are they going to do? Why do you just mention it in a sentence, you know, kind of in passing? So they addressed it a little bit more, you know, thoroughly. But some other things that they addressed also in this, they go down the line, and the first one is about crafting. And they say, straight up, there will be crafting. And this is something, I mean, they've said this before, but this is like, yes, definitely, there will definitely be crafting. And they also acknowledge the fact that one of those crafting, what they call disciplines, will be tailoring. And this ties in with the kind of subject here, you know, talking about clothes and transmutation and things like that. So tailoring will be there. And then they have this great picture of kind of concept art, I guess, and it shows the little sections of this this outfit that's for male and female, and it looks incredible. I mean,
are we looking at the red thing?
Yeah.
I want it so bad. I don't even care what that profession is. I'll play whatever that profession is if I can have that armor.
I think it's it looks kind of spooky, so I'm thinking like necro-ish, kind of. I don't know.
Well, look at the figure in the top left-hand corner. She's got spooky necro eyes.
Yeah.
But as always, the detail just floors me. Look at the little tassels on the boots.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's amazing.
That is really, it's like a Victorian necro. It's kind of cool.
A Victorian necro. Yep. At Little Red Riding Hood from Hell is where I would have it.
That's actually a good description, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next little part here, the next subtopic is armor. And in armor, they talk about what you can have to enhance your armor. And that, I think that's a big piece, a big part of it. Because the bonuses are much like we have now with runes and insignias, where now they have crests. And one of the examples they give here is you can apply the crest of the Legion to your gloves to gain a plus 10 intelligence, and you can apply the crest of the Dragon to your boots to get plus 100 health. So these are just two examples of how these can be used. Now, I think the most important part here is the last sentence, and it says the more matching crests you have on your armor, the greater the bonuses. So that means it stacks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and it sounds to me like it's cumulative. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, I think I said this earlier, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear more about this.
Yeah, it should be really exciting. And then this next little part here, they have another piece of concept art that I was looking at, and I don't know what that would be. It looks like it has
that's
wings.
A bee costume.
It has wings. You see the wings?
Yeah, that's crazy. I called it the bee costume.
Those boots are awesome, too.
Oh, those are. I never noticed those.
I don't know what that's probably a ranger or something, I would say.
I don't know. The hood makes me think dervish, but we don't really have those yet. And I noticed that she's, like, missing half of her pants, so that's an issue.
They have that in games?
What, pants?
Missing pants? Wait, are we looking at a Terra dev blog here? Oh.
No, because you can't see her entire butt.
Oh, okay. That's the difference. So this little part here with this nice little picture of half pants, they have gathering. They talk about gathering. And the main point they're pointing out here is that if you are gathering your node, say it's copper, and it's only available to certain people, so that if you gather it, like, the next person won't be able to see it, you know, one of those types of things, and it's specific for each person. So people are saying, wait a minute, does this mean that you're going to see people out in the wilderness, you know, mining air? And they said, no, it won't be like that at all. It'll actually, once it's already been taken, it will turn into kind of a graphic that looks like, I don't know if it'll look like a hole in the ground, or it'll just look like it's been used. You know, it's already
It'll be more of a plain rock. Like the copper veins will disappear is the example they gave.
Yeah, exactly. So if that was a big concern of yours, you can rest easy now.
I'd actually love to see it turn into look like a little pile of rubble for you.
I don't know. Like, would they animate the rubble? Like, it would just be falling down all around your feet? I mean, that would unnecessary resources, probably.
No. Yeah, but that would be fun.
Okay, so this next little part here is about what we've all been waiting for, is the transmutation stones. This part they spent a lot, you know, of course they saved the best for last, and they spent a lot of time, a lot of questions here addressing the concerns from the community. One of the biggest things, of course, was how much are these things going to cost? You know, how are we going to get them? I mean, are they going to be accessible only through the item store? So they're saying, number one, they don't know how much they're going to cost. They still have to figure that out. And number two, they still have to figure out if they're going to make these available in the game as well. You know, like if you have more time than money, then you can go ahead and grind for these things in the game. But if you have more money than time, you can just buy them in the item store. I'm a big fan of that because I think it plays to both sides. What if you don't have time or money, though, like me? I mean, then what do you do? Then you shouldn't be playing
suffer.
MMOs.
Get a job, hippie.
So they're addressing that, and they're addressing the fact that will be an option, but they just don't have any details on that at this time. I'm sure they're going to, you know, read through all these threads and kind of gauge the reaction. I mean, even the reaction so far, we don't even have concrete information on it, and people are going nuts about it. And we talked about this last show, you know, kind of like, why are people so insane? You know, why are people going crazy? And that's what a lot of the email we're going to read, a lot of the emails are all about, and the comments. So you can, we're not going to read the comments on the show because those are something you can actually go in and read yourself and contribute to. But the emails we are going to read because I think a lot of them make some really good points about this whole topic.
Absolutely.
But, what do you think about their clarification on this? Do you think it really helped a lot?
I think it may have. I just feel like, and this reminds me of when we were talking about the fact that they announced Guild Wars 2 so early in the first place, they were kind of in a hard position. Because if they told about this armor, if they told about this thing up front as far as combining these pieces for good stats and looks, and didn't mention the transmutation stones until they had more details, I think there still would have been an uproar. Because people would have gone down the path of, you deliberately hid this from us. Yeah. And why didn't you tell us this up front? And on and on and on. So I think they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. Because this whole transmutation concept is very important, or I guess it strikes me as a very important part of armor, mm-hmm. of how armor's going to work in Guild Wars 2. So I think they needed to say something. With what they had to work with. And this clarification helps quite a bit. I've deliberately not gone to the forums on this round because I don't want to know. I'm not sure how people feel. I'm interested in hearing about how people feel now about it being a one-use item. I think that's going to garner the biggest reaction. I'm perfectly content with it being a one-use item. Just because of something I said, I think, in Flameseeker Chronicles at the beginning of this week, you are using this item to change or alter your clothing and I try to think of these like in real world terms. If you go to the tailor and have a shirt altered to look different and he charges you, you're not going to say, well, I paid you last week when you altered that other shirt. Don't you think you're being kind of greedy to charge me twice?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I just view it as altering your shirt. Or as like a makeover. You buy 5 makeover credits in Guild Wars 1, you use one of those credits and it's gone for good. Mm-hmm. That's it. You used it up.
Yep.
So I have absolutely no problem with it being one use. I fully expected it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to agree. And I know some people get annoyed when we agree with each other, but...
We don't always, so it's okay.
But I agree. Yeah, and I think a couple really good points that are made in this blog posts, and one of them is the fact that another thing, it's just common sense, is, you know, you're going to lose the original items when you transmute two things together.
Duh!
People are like, you know, are we going to be able to keep the old items? Well, no, because they're being combined to make one item. So, you know, and the same with, like, if they have crests on them, they say that these crests are, didn't they say it's going to take the best one, or how does that work?
Yeah, they address that. When you transmute two pieces of armor, and I'm reading this verbatim, if there is an upgrade component on both pieces of armor, the player can choose which one they will retain after the transmutation.
So that's cool.
I mean, yeah, so you get to pick.
Yeah, it gives you a choice, which is unlike real life.
Now, the question, this does raise a question for me. You know how you can, in Guild Wars 1, you can strip your runes and insignias off of your armor? This sounds to me like you almost maybe can't do that.
Oh.
Because otherwise people would be stripping them off before the transmutation.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm interested. I hope we get clarification of that soon. Because, you know, I like to move my runes and insignias around and take them off, put them on, to until I'm satisfied with what I have. And with this being a more complicated system, I think there might be more trial and error.
Yeah.
So that raises that question for me. I'm interested to find out.
I think it's kind of a unique situation because Guild Wars players are used to not really paying anything. And once you start telling them that they're going to have to pay for parts of their game, they get a little vocal in the forums. And this is, of course, the issue that came up in our emails. So let's go ahead and get into these emails.
Yeah, definitely.
And start reading some of these. Now, okay, so this first one goes back 6 days. This is right after our last episode released. And it says, "Sup, Ruby and Sean." Frankly, who is going to be looking at your armor? Actually, I read this. This is a very good email. It's a very good part. Very, very good point. Who's going to be looking at your armor? You've got your personal story. You've got no grouping requirement except for dungeons. You've got active combat, scouts, and dynamic events galore. And most importantly, you're going to have naked people dancing in town.
You know, I think ArenaNet should just cut to the chase and have naked NPCs dancing in town.
Yeah.
Let's just do it, because it's going to happen anyway. Okay, sorry.
All of these factors mean that if someone's going to be looking at your armor instead of your TNA, it's going to be on accident. In an MMO, there's not even the possibility that physical appearance has anything to do with actual competency. So depending on the cost of tranny stones, it'd either be the most popular item in the store or the least popular. At least until the majority of the server population becomes level 80, which is when they'll start caring about appearance. But that's a month after release. Oh, you think it's going to take a month? Which is anywhere from 6 months to a year away. I'm gonna argue with you here. People will get to max level much quicker than a month, and release is not at 6 months to a year away. There, I said it. Personally, I think all the rage is misdirected desire for a profession release. Yes. I agree. The original RIT Necro Minion Bomber Soy Oil.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a good... I like that email. I think he made some very good points about the fact that... people will be looking at your armor, but at the same time, I mean, who are we kidding? You know, we look at our own armor. And we set ourselves up and hope that people look at us. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a car. You know, you buy a real flashy car and you drive around and you don't really look at other people's cars because you're, you know, worrying about if people are looking at your own. I don't know, it's something like that. I mean, we don't all do that, but I certainly don't.
I think it's, maybe the majority won't. I totally people watching Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Just because I love armor and I hope I'm not the only one.
No, you're probably not the only one, but yeah.
Actually, and it's funny, I was thinking about this the other night. And this is a short story. It's a good story, and you'll like it. So, is it Chiuna? Is that how you say it?
Chiuna, yeah.
Chiuna. I ran into her in-game maybe a year or so ago. I can't remember when Voltaic Spear Farming was Flavor of the Month. But I actually saw her. I recognized her character name in Umbral Grotto. And her Ellie had Fissure Woe armor, Chaos gloves, and the bandana. And I was just like, oh, that's so pretty. Mm-hmm. I want... So I can't possibly be the only one that checks out other people's armor to get ideas.
Oh, no. I think he's mostly just kind of joking around.
Well, but, I mean, he definitely has a point. And also, I think that'll be a lot harder in Guild Wars 2 because you don't have the lobby towns, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I mean, you see somebody run by. Now, World of Warcraft takes care of that by making everything so flashy and bright. You know, if you have tier 9,000 armor, whatever, it's like, you know, glowing neon, and the shoulder guards are bigger than your whole character. So, so you know, you're going to be able to see that character, and you see him run by on a giant elephant, you know, then you're going to be like, wow, look at that person. So they kind of cover that base in games like that. But I hope they don't have neon armor in Guild Wars 2. But so I think that, you know, it'll be a matter of kind of stopping and, like you said, people watching. You know, seeing what other people... And I actually do like that, too, because I like to see what's a possibility for me to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the armor I want to get next. I got to find out what it is, and then I have to... That's my goal. You know what I mean? So I think that's... It's important.
I'm going to be that idiot running after people in Guild Wars 2. Wait, what was that? Come back! And they're like taking speed buffs to get away.
And then that's when they're cursing the persistent world, so they can't just zone... get away from you. Like, okay, this next email is very long, but it's got a lot of good stuff in there, so I'm going to read the whole thing. This also came right after last episode, and this is from, oh, I like the ending here, your fellow Mesmer. Susura Spellshield is the name.
Probably is it a good pronounced. Subject line?
Comments on Transmutation, the New Hero, and Seven Hero Teams.
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable. You may read it.
It says, hey, Urban Wish. What? I've got a few hopefully interesting comments on some of the things rocking the GW community at the moment. Firstly, there's not enough details to form a clear opinion about the Tranny Stones yet, so I'm afraid I have to speculate. I'm okay with cosmetic microtransactions as long as they can't be used to improve tradable items other people can use, like weapons, simply because this could create a significant imbalance on the in-game economy if one could craft highly sought-after weapon skins with perfect or rare stats. This potential imbalance on the economy, however, could be solved by setting the price of the stones at a level that wouldn't hurt anyone's pockets. Another way to prevent negative effects on the game's economy would be to have to automatically customize the transmuted item so that only the character using the stone would be able to equip it. After all, tranny stones are supposed to enable you to customize your own character. I myself bought a few products from Guild Wars Store, most of which giving me functional improvements rather than visual. I love the additional storage panes, the BMP, and the skill unlock packs. Having joined Guild Wars only shortly after Eye of the North was released, I didn't want to spend time unlocking every skill on a preliminary character to have them all available for my actual character's heroes. But unless we know more about the actual implementation and the limits of its use, there's no good reason to be either too optimistic or pessimistic. These stories could become a blessing or a curse. Secondly, I'd like to make a guess on the new hero we will be able to acquire. I realize an interesting pattern that might give us a clue about it. If I'm correct, after prophecies in which centaurs were generally hostile, except Fintari, Nightfall introduced them as a non-hostile race, and we got Zed Shadowhoof as one of our first heroes. Eye of the North showed us that not all Char are fundamentally evil, and we got Pyre Fierceshot. Although not officially considered part of Guild Wars Beyond, the story of Zin and the malfunctioning golems brought us Mox, a non-human hero whose race was previously hostile as well, apart from the occasional worker golem. So with that in mind, and the fact that the developers know that non-humanoid races are probably more visually interesting to a majority of players than regular humans, I'd hypothesize that the next hero we will be able to unlock could be a member of the non-humanoid race indigenous to Kantha, and exclusively hostile to the player in previous encounters, like the Char and the Centaurs were before Nightfall and Eye of the North. During the first half of Factions, it was shown that, like the Veldrunner Centaur Pride, not all Tengu are warmongering people, and we already have Talon Silverwing as a henchman. And this decreases the probability of the new hero being a Tengu, in my opinion. My bet is that it might be a Naga. Story-wise, this race has had a grudge against humans ever since the Jade Wind caused by Shiro's death killed almost their whole kind. In the Guild Wars 2 trailer, we see a serpentine creature bearing a lot of resemblance to the Naga of Guild Wars swimming through the water. I think bringing a Naga hero with his own little story to Tyria and exploring some of their history could be very promising. There's definitely a good amount of conflict potential between the human and non-human races in Kanta. Also, the developers stated that they intend to create entirely new areas due to the technical problems the reuse of Kryton territory caused with the war in Kryta. If you look at the unknown secluded islands surrounding the main story of Xing-Jie, they look like they would be a suitable place to add new, small, explorable areas and or outposts. Okay, before I go any further, I'm almost done, but before I go any further in this email, what do you think about that? I think that's really interesting.
I like where he's going with this, and I actually, the train of thought makes quite a bit of sense to me. I do have to point out, and I would have to watch it to be sure, but I'm pretty sure the serpentine creature that he's talking about in the Guild Wars 2 trailer is a crate.
Okay.
That was something we talked about quite a bit at the panel at PAX. The crate are a purely hostile race toward us. They're bigger and badder in Guild Wars 2, and they're a significant presence. So yeah. I imagine that's probably a crate. But I can get on board with his reasoning easily. I would not mind seeing a Naga hero. I wanted to say henchman there. I would not mind seeing a Naga hero. Maybe even a warden. Wardens are pretty tough. They kick my butt all the time.
Well, something else I think is interesting is we do know that there is going to be a focus on Kanta pretty soon, right?
Yes, I can't wait. I'm actually reading up on Kanthan lore right now for that.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe we will. I mean, you think back at all the things in Kanta, man, they really introduced a lot of fantastic new creatures for factions, you know. So I mean, if you think about those and the possibilities there, I think that's kind of honing in on probably what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen with the new hero? Maybe it will be Kanthan. I think that would be a good idea. Actually.
It would make sense. Yeah. I actually was just sitting here thinking, just for the sake of consistency, I'm going to have to say, I want a bee hero. I was absolutely enamored of the bees when we first saw them in pre-searing, and I have asked for a bee pet. I have asked for a mini pet bee, and somebody pointed out I could just say that I have a mini pet bee, and nobody could tell the difference. But don't you see it?
So you want the bee costume and you want a bee pet. You just just gonna go all out.
I want a bee hero. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wow, bee hero, bee pet.
Need a bee something.
That would be ridiculous.
Seriously?
Ridiculous.
Seriously? You're gonna edit that out, right?
No way.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I have no shame when it comes to that.
Okay, you know what? Put some pants on and stop making dad jokes. Speaking of having no shame. Okay, but no, on a serious note, I can really get on board with that. I joked last week that it should be a siege turtle since we already have Rottwallows.
Yeah.
But a Naga would make sense. So we have this for posterity, and if he's right, we should give him one internet.
You and the internet. Okay, this last paragraph, it says, thirdly, seven hero teams. I myself am for the most part a solo player and recently finished all of the Eye of the North dungeons in both normal and hard mode.
Jeez, congratulations. That's hard.
I know. I never tried it before because I thought it would be such a pain without real players and consumables, which I hate using. Actually, I'm glad you said that because I hate using consumables too. I was wrong. I found the dungeons to be a lot of fun and would love to finally experience the underworld or other elite areas without having to group with people. Not because I don't like to play with others, yeah, right, but because I feel bad having no real experience and being the weakest link or a burden for the team. A seven-hero team would allow me to enjoy the quest and experience the lore without having to rush through the whole thing because my pug mates have done it 1,000 times before. I want to take my time, learn, and not be an annoyance for others. I can actually, you know, breaking in here a second, I can actually see that. There are a lot of times when I feel that way too. It's like, it's more of like avoiding embarrassment by not playing with others. You know what I mean? So I can totally see where this person's coming from.
I actually can too, and I know I've said several times I'm one of the most social people. That's the biggest part of the game for me. But I remember being new to Guild Wars and having no idea what was happening and just struggling to keep up with the rest of the group, and that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're an expert now. I mean, I've heard you work for ArenaNet now, so I mean, I don't know.
I have all kinds of influence. Oh my gosh, you people have no idea. I'm in the office right now.
All kinds of rumors about Ruby. Okay, so continuing on with this email, it says, if I didn't have the option of playing with NPCs in the first place, I would have never bought Guild Wars. Forcing me to team up with the real players when I don't want to doesn't make me do it. Seven heroes doesn't make the game significantly easier, a little maybe, because you can fine-tune all of your team's builds to what you're up against. There's nothing wrong with that. Real players do it too. Denying solo players this freedom suggests that you want them to be handicapped strategically in a way that makes them consider choosing real players over artificial ones. I say solo players are handicapped enough with the numerous other flaws of hench slash hero AI. Alicia.
Oh, poor Alicia.
Making it easier for them to protect their team from their own stupidity by flagging them all apart or telling them all to cease fire instead of only half of them is not that big of an advantage. But it's enough to make the game more enjoyable for solo players who would otherwise use henchmen anyway. That's it. I like the show. Your squabbling genuinely made me laugh a few times. Keep it up. Your fellow Mesmer, Sasura Spellshield. Oh, here's the PS about the beginning when she said, or he or she said, Urban Wish. It says Urban Wish is an anagram for Ruby and Sean. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
It says that's as far as you can go in greeting both of you and not mention anyone first.
I love that.
Brilliant.
He's so smart. I hope I didn't just call a girl he.
I think it's a girl. I'm not sure.
She. Well, then, of course she's smart. Okay, you know what? I absolutely agree with what you said. You are completely right. You know, you guys, these point of views have pulled me on board with a seven-hero team, and I was not on board.
See, now that sucks because I was on board with it, and I was hoping to, you know, get some arguing in with you and, you know.
I'm sorry, but they're right. I can't help it.
But I think
if you had said it, I totally would have argued. But
yeah. Well, my reasons for wanting a hero team are probably much more selfish and introverted than most people. I mean, you know, this person brought up some really excellent points that I think, you know, hold true to me as well about, you know, not wanting to embarrass myself, things like that. But at the same time, dealing with pugs is exhausting. And there are many times when I just say, I'm just going to throw costs in here, and I'll give him what I want him to have, and I'll give him the skill bar I want him to have, and you know, and he'll do my thing. And if I don't like him, I'll go flag him on the other side over there. You know what I mean? And it's just one of those things where it's, I don't know. It's just, like, Koss doesn't have to go eat dinner 15 minutes into the dungeon. You know what I mean? And I love that about him.
You're so right. And I did go through a phase for the longest time where before I started doing anything, I asked my group, does anybody have to pee? Do you need a drink? Yeah. Do you need to ask your mother if you have 20 minutes?
Well, see, you have kids, so you know that that doesn't work, right? Like I'll literally take my daughter. We'll okay, she'll go to the bathroom. Oh, this is a horrible story, but she'll go to the bathroom. We won't eat or drink anything at all for an hour, and we'll go out somewhere where there are no bathrooms, and then she'll have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, you didn't consume anything. Like, how? How does that work?
Please tell me this is the older one, because that would make it that much funnier.
No, it's the younger one.
Okay. But embarrassing your preteen is like, that's like your mission in life. You have to tell us a good story about her soon. Something that would like really freak her out.
Yeah.
I have plenty of time. Worst mother ever.
All right. Well, let's go to this next email here. Ooh, this is from another Mesmer. It's almost like I picked these out, just the Mesmers.
You suck. Find me an elementalist now.
It says, what's up, Sean and Ruby? In Kantari Lumotia. Oh, he put a little pronunciation. In Kantare. Oh, wow, I was way off. In Kantare Lumotai. What? Okay, I'll take your word for that. There's an A at the end. What? Okay. Just wanted to tell you what I think about the microtransactions and ask you a completely unrelated question afterwards. That's what we're here for, randomness.
Awesome.
I'll admit, when I first saw that sentence in the blog post, I was a little irked. In Guild Wars 1, we could craft any armor we wanted and not have to worry about stats, since, in the end, they all maxed out depending on the class. You could rune them up, and with the addition to Insignias and Nightfall, this became even easier. Now, if I see a really cool armor that doesn't have the stats I need, I will need to pay? Then I thought about it a little bit, though. And I'm glad they chose something like this instead of a case like the bonus mission pack where you actually miss out on some gameplay without pumping out a couple extra dollars. I'm sure they learned that in Guild Wars 1, free-to-play is nice, but it doesn't put food on the table for long, so something cosmetic I can understand. I have enough faith in the artists also that there will be some pretty awesome armor with great stats to begin with. As for my question, what do you think about minigames? Let me elaborate. In World of Warcraft Cataclysm, they revealed a minigame that plays exactly like Plants vs. Zombies. It's a nice little distraction from the main game and gives out rewards that aren't too much or too little, just enough to make it worth it, but not enough where you need to do it. I believe Guild Wars 1 tried this with Polymock. puts a little flinch in there, a little flinch emote. Sorry, that's a bad...
sucks.
Sorry, that's a bad habit. Anyways, Polymock and the Norn Tournament. Yeah, it didn't exactly turn out to be the fun distraction I thought it would be. I heard something about minigames in Guild Wars 2. I can't remember the blog post. So what is your perspective on this? I think if they are implemented smoothly enough and balance out the rewards, it would be nice. But from Polymock's, again, there's the flinch again, example, I'm hoping they learned from their mistakes. Thanks a bunch. See you in Guild Wars 2 either way. And then his name that I cannot pronounce again, the amazing Mesmer.
Do you just want to call him Alan?
I'll call him Fred.
Okay, Fred works. We're sorry, Fred.
Minigames. Yes, minigames are... they are a distraction, and they are kind of fun at times. Fable 2 is a good example of this. They introduced a ton of, like, pub games. You know, you can go in the pub, and you can talk to the game master, and you play all these games. They have little minigames for crafting. Like, you can... cutting wood is actually, you know, you have to press the button at the right time to swing the axe and things like that. It's a lot of fun. It gets to the point where when you have to do it over and over again, it gets grindy. Free Realms is a perfect example. Free Realms and the Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures, both from SOE, are examples of games that are just way too filled with minigames. I mean, they're not minigames anymore. They're, you know, it's the majority of the game is minigames, so it's kind of crazy. I think Free Realms does it good, though. They have some kind of, like, Bejeweled-type games in there that are kind of fun. But then it's like, I think people sign in just to play minigames sometimes, and they're not really playing, you know, the whole game. That said, though, I think that they can still be fun to a lot of people. I hope that they make them better than Polymock and the Norn Tournament. Dwarf Boxing was fun, but you know, it's not something you can do all the time. You know what I mean? Overall, I think I like minigames. I just would not like to see them being overwhelming.
I just don't know. I honestly was sitting here thinking I could see a couple of little minigame apps for the phone, for the smartphone and for the iPad. Mm-hmm. Pay $1.99 or whatever and get a Guild Wars minigame.
Yeah, that's a good point. The extended experience team. I mean, they have this whole team making stuff like that. Why not make them mini games that you can play at work instead of working?
And you know, I guess I should clarify, because I'm actually sitting here feeling bad. I hate Polymock so bad.
I do too.
But it is completely a matter of preference. I have Guild and Alliance mates that love the thing, mm-hmm. Which was handy when I got Polymock pieces in end chests and was like, oh, eh, who wants this thing? So I could give them away. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not, and that's, I guess, illustrates my point nicely. It's not everybody's cup of tea, so I wouldn't want to see it too prevalent. I mean, mm-hmm. If I had Polymock in my face every time I turned around, I would hate that a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, as long as it's something you can do on the side. Again, Fable 2, you know, the Game Master, not something you have to do, but, you know, you can play darts if you want, and you can do... I mean, there are a lot of games. I can think
Slash
of so...
Slash and Fallen Earth?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have the gambling. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 4, you know, you can go in a bar, you can kill everyone in the bar if you want to, and then you can play some darts, you know? I mean, you can literally play some darts there, and it's like, it's not a cheap little... you know, afterthought. It's like a dart game that you would buy in the store, you know, and it's in this game. Actually, Rockstar did a really good job with that.
You throw darts at your monitor, don't you?
Yeah, you actually you have a Wiimote, and no. But minigames are, it's like a necessary evil now, you know. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing by saying evil. Yeah. But it's just a thing that everyone has in their games to kind of keep you busy. You know, it's easy content. It's a lot better than farming for gold, you know, and selling it on eBay or whatever.
Don't judge me. I need to... Okay, that was a joke. Please do not ban me. you know what? I would love to see them because we've got the carnival in Divinity's Reach.
Yes,
and
yes.
I would love the option just to wander down to the carnival and spend a half an hour dorking around with minigames. Mm-hmm. That's what it's good in its place, and I would love to see it in its own little place.
Yep.
I'm gesturing over here to the right because you can see me, and apparently the right-hand side of my desk is where the minigames go.
Oh, I gesture too, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't... It's only bad when I get really excited and start knocking things off the desk.
Okay, so this next email, this one, okay, the subject line of this one is Hi Ruby. What do you think? Yay or nay?
I think I'm like, well, hell yeah, but now I'm like looking at my inbox going, I don't think I got this email.
No, it was just sent to me. But it says Hi Ruby, and then the email starts, it says S-Dog2. Oh, thanks. Grendigan, no jokes this time. Just wanted to provide some feedback on your previous podcast. Seven Heroes, I love the idea, especially if they implement a new interface to arrange all of your heroes' skills at once. Hey, there's an idea. Imagine forming team builds. It may add a whole new element to gameplay. That kind of turns it into an RTS at that point. The first thing my girlfriend said when I told her about the feature was, so we can actually do Urgaz together? Just us? Man, I would love that. What do you guys think? On another happy note, I expect Assassins to make a return. My prediction is that they will dual-wield everything. Maybe even foci, because they are stupid. I like how I was reading this email and stupid was on another line, so I'm like, they are stupid. seriously, though, double-tapping for an assassin should make them shadow-step in the direction instead of rolling. I think they would be pretty sweet. That would be pretty sweet.
That would be fun.
Yeah, about the whole in-game store debacle. I think people are just upset because they feel like they are losing features. Something you could sorta do in Guild Wars for free now costs money in Guild Wars 2. I think that is a large cause of most of the outrage, comparing the two as if they were the same game. Guild Wars 2 is a brand new, separate entity with new functionality, a new engine, new content, new everything. Everyone needs to chillax. Would I pay more than a subscription fee in the in-game store? Well, no, not me personally. I'm writing this email from my flimsy cardboard house. Until next time, Grend. Thank you, Grend. That was awesome.
Thank you, Grend. Grend gets bonus points for use of the word debacle.
And foci.
That was awesome. Yeah. he gets bonus points for the use of that.
There are a lot of kind of back and forth on this issue of transmutation stone. So I want to try to pick these out and make sure I get both sides. But here's another one here. It says, Dear Ruby and Sean, ladies go first. The fact about the huge outcry about the transmutation stones is a clear example of just the nature of humans as well as the internet. The internet brings the worst and best out of people. On the internet, people have monitors to hide behind. Usually our true uncensored feelings are shown on the World Wide Web. This can result in people who truly are kind, such as those who help completely random strangers for the heck of it.
Yay.
Or people who are greedy, miserable wretches, such as those who roll need on everything they see. I hate those people. The sad fact is, most humans are greedy. The fact that they have to pay in order to get something they want frustrates them. They want everything for free because they're greedy. It's quite simple. Another possible factor of this huge outcry is, a number of these flamers are under the age of 18. I'm not saying all people under 18 are immature or greedy, as I am under 18, but these flamers do not have credit cards to buy these items, and the fact their e-peen is in danger due to the fact they do not have credit cards makes them very, very sad. I think Ruby should not be so upset because being upset can make your life expectancy diminish. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think these flamers are truly that angry at ArenaNet. They just feel extremely insecure by the fact that they will not be able to achieve what they want. Just imagine a cornered Asurin who is angry, sad, insecure because people are threatening to take away his lab stuff. By the way, has Ruby ever gotten that Princess Salma mini? I have one extra one. I'd love to give it to her because I don't really care for it. Keep up the good work, buddies. Captain Alphonse.
Okay, I have a story. I have a story.
Okay.
I got offered, thank you so much for the offer of the Princess Salma. I actually really do appreciate it. I had quite a few people offer to give me their spares, but I had this whole big thing with my Princess Salma Mini. Because since I'm a newer player, well, and I say a newer player, I've been around for like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. I think 3.5 years is how long I've been around. So,
you're only 3.5 years old?
I am.
You talk really well. Good job.
Yay! Anyway. And then two, I recreated all of my characters. I don't have any characters older than two, so I'm even younger. No, so I don't really get the high-rent birthday gifts. I'm a mini pet fanatic. Every mini I've ever gotten has either been purchased from another player or they were gifts from other players. I've never actually like opened a box that came for me and gotten my very own mini pet that I wanted. I mean, you know, and I've got birthday presents, but it was like Siege Devours and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And with Warren Kreida, I fell in love with that Salma Mini. And I said, you know what? This one time, I'm going to get the thing myself. I am going to fight and earn the gifts, and I am going to open my own gifts until I get my own Salma Mini. And I did it!
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I finally got that thing. I don't know how many... I didn't come close to earning a stack of gifts, but I know I went through 50.
Wow.
Before I got my Salma Mini. And I felt bad because I was probably offered a dozen.
Wow.
And I felt bad. Well, I mean, I have really, really great guildmates. And a couple listeners offered them to me. And if I turned you down, it wasn't anything personal. I mean, I felt bad saying no because I appreciated the offer so much. You shut up. I did not tell you you could talk. No, but I felt bad. I turned down quite a few of them, but I really, this one time, I wanted to get it myself, and I did. Mm-hmm. And I love that mini Salma so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a lot better than buying it, right?
You know what it really is? She is probably my favorite right now.
Cool.
So, but everything else that I've gotten has either been like a Christmas, or I got quite a few minis over the past few years for my real-life birthday. People gave me mini pets just in-game as a gift. Christmas gifts from guildmates, or I bought them in Comic-Con.
Hmm.
But this one, she is all mine.
That's awesome.
All right, now that I have exposed what an idiot I am, I was really happy about this. But so thank you for your offer. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I really, really do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was my story. I'm done now. I'm sorry.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Let's see. This next email is actually really short and sweet, but it needs to be said. Hey, Guildcasters. Hi, Guildcasters. Just a quick question. Why do you guys keep advertising guildcast.wordpress.com instead of guildcast.com? Guildcast.com is shorter. Just curious. Regards, Johnny10. Well, Johnny, the reason is mainly because guildcast.com I bought through a host, which I have many other websites and storage and everything through, but I have had experience in the past where these people sometimes just shut off the service or decide one day that they're going to tell me that I'm a hacker or I'm going to get hacked, which is even worse, and then everything shuts down. So
I remember that sucked.
Yeah, like I have the worst luck with this stuff. So guildcast.wordpress.com is not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like that's not owned by me. WordPress isn't owned by me, but you know, it's just a subdomain of that. So I feel a lot safer giving the guildcast.wordpress.com. But you can certainly go to guildcast.com, and it redirects to guildcast.wordpress.com.
So it's just that
Yeah, I mean, if you feel better about going to just guildcast.com, I mean, we have our emails set up through there, you know, and that works out really well. So yeah, you can go there, and it's just a redirect. But that's mainly the only reason, just for, you know, the sake of if it ever goes down, then people can still, you know, go to the WordPress site. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
that was exciting.
Yeah.
Unreliable redirects. They're a good time.
Let's see. I want to find one that isn't... Oh, man, there are so many. Oh, here's one. Okay, this is a good one. It says, on transmutation stones, wait, don't delete me.
I love that one.
Yeah, that'll get my attention. Okay. Hi, Ruby and Sean. Hope you two are doing well. I just wanted to email you to let you know why I think people are all up in arms over the whole transmutation gate debacle. I believe that most of us, having played Guild Wars, were aware that there were going to be some kind of in-game store where microtransactions would be available, but would be mostly for cosmetic items such as transmutation stones. I think what caught most people off guard, though, is how the article was worded. First, the section is called Guild Wars Principle Number 3, Players Should Look the Way They Want to Look. This title alone sets up the expectation that players will be able to freely, as in at will, swap between clothing slash armor styles with no restrictions, monetary or otherwise. The following paragraph then goes on to describe this really cool feature and even goes as far as lambasting other games, calling their restrictions pertaining to armor, quote, just flat out unacceptable. Wording this strong, I believe, only further serves to increase the aforementioned expectation. He then goes on to describe their system and solution to the problem, and then hits the readers with the phrase, through our in-game store. As a linguistics graduate, his attempt at softening the blow, whether done consciously or not, by avoiding words like buy or purchase, feels like they knew we would want this and think it's awesome, but also knew that there would be backlash from the player base. Finally, I think players are also ignited over the fact that he, kind of, makes out the system to be innovative and unique, despite the fact that, as you two mentioned in your last podcast, other games do offer this system, and some even for free. Not to mention the fact that we could choose any armor style we wanted in Guild Wars, with max stats, which some may feel is a step backward. Don't get me wrong, I believe that this kind of thing is indeed a perfect example of the kind of things that should be available through an in-game store. Sure, I'd be bummed if the only way of getting that cool plant armor shown in the article at max stats is by buying a T-stone through the in-game store, but I suppose it's a small price to pay if it means that they're going to make other cool things or expansions or bonuses, content, new events for Guild Wars 2. And then in parentheses, please make the Tengu a playable race in Guild Wars 2. Kantha. Guild Wars 2 Kantha. I guess that's going to be a expansion.
I like how there's an exclamation point.
Yeah. It goes on and says, I just think that the delivery of the news could have been better and is part of the reason players are so vociferous over the issue. Anyway, keep up the good work, Ryan. And, okay, it says his in-game name is Kumo Makukura.
That's not what I see at all.
That's my pronunciation. Here you go. P.S. Thanks for letting me do Dunes of Despair with you all last Thursday, Ruby. I had a great time.
That was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's basically another one where it's like, you know, kind of describing why there was such the craziness, you know, why people kind of got a little upset about it and everything. I think that most of these emails are defending ArenaNet and defending their decision to make the transmutation stones. I mean, what we've read so far have been people saying, you know, they need to make money, which I agree with. I think my stance on this is, hey, why are you getting on ArenaNet for wanting to make money? You know, you go to McDonald's and you pay $8 for a hamburger and you're like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and do that. That's fine.
What the hell McDonald's are you going to?
And then it's like you buy a Coke, which is 3/4 filled with ice and a little bit filled with fountain drink, which I could go on about all day about this. Anyway, so you pay an insane amount of money for stupid stuff, and then you get upset because you know a game you spend all day playing, you have to pay a couple dollars. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. It's a service. You know what I mean? Like if you're having fun and you enjoy the work these very talented people do, pay them. You know, give them a little bit of money. Like, it's not the end of the world. So anyway, that's my stance on it. And that seems to be kind of the stance of a lot of these emails. But I wanted to read this one here. I think this might even be our last one because we're over an hour now. But I wanted to read this last one here. And this is from Chiona. We love Chiona. But
it's
she feels
awesome armor.
Yeah, she feels very strongly about how this whole thing really sucks a lot. You know, we talked about it in the forums, about like the majority of what we heard in the forums was, this sucks, like reading that you shouldn't do this. But then a lot of the feedback we got personally on Guildcast was kind of the opposite. So Chiyona is kind of, showing us that that side of it, that the forums were, the majority of the forum members were saying. Dear Sean and Ruby, I'm a Guild Wars fangirl, and I don't support transmutation stones. I have not really been reading the forum thread, so perhaps you have heard all my reasons a million times before, but just in case you haven't, here they are. Why transmutation stones suck. By Chiyona. Number one. If you find the perfect set of armor at level 10, as you play through the game, you will be using tons of transmutation stones to keep that appearance as you level up. Never mind the cost, that seems like a hassle to me. Ooh, better armor. Log out, go into the in-game store, find credit card, buy stones, log in, combine armor, equip your old look with the new stats. Okay, guys, I'm ready. Guys? Or I guess you could use inventory space to carry around stones all the time, just in case. Now that's point one from Chiyona. Now I just want to address this. We don't know how this is going to work, but Turbine does a great job with this on DDO. Literally, you set up everything beforehand, and you don't have to log in and find your credit card and all that stuff. Like like in DDO, there's something that you need while you're in the middle of a dungeon. You can click on a button. It'll take you to the store. You click buy. You're done. Right.
Exactly. You know what? I actually did that last night. We were about to finish it. We had DDO night with Massively last night. Mm-hmm. We were about to finish up this quest that gave, insane XP. And somebody commented, if anybody wants to use an XP buff, do it now because we're about to finish. And I said, hang on a second. And literally, it was 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. I was in the store, purchased out, used the potion, and we moved on.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, any company would make it as easy as possible. The reason this works so well for Turbine in DDO is because it's so easy. If you had to log out and get your credit card number and go to the in-game store and all this stuff, ArenaNet would make no money. I mean, in Turbine, nobody would make money if you had to do all this stuff. So I think that it would only make sense that they are going to make it as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that part of it, I really don't think it'll be a problem. But we'll have to wait and see. Okay, number two, if you decide to wait until max level to transmute your armor set, that's a lot of inventory space you are wasting to carry around unwearable low-level gear sets you want to later upgrade. I love collecting armor, and will probably have inventory space issues anyway, but this is just making it worse. I'll agree with that one because I hate inventory problems, but here's the thing. I imagine they're going to sell storage space, and this will play into it. One of the first games that I played that really bothered me about inventory space versus item shop and selling inventory space is Runes of Magic. That game has 400 million things you can collect and pick up, and you need them all. You need them for quests, you need them for crafting, and then they give you one page of slots, and then they have all these other tabs of slots that you can have if you buy them. And it's like, oh, I have all this stuff, I can't hold it, and if I just pay a little bit of money, I'll be able to hold it. And it's just a strategy, It's and I'm not saying it's a bad strategy, it's just one of those things. If you're a collector, you're going to have to pay for it. So I imagine that's what they're going to do.
I have an entire secondary Guild Wars account that I originally purchased for Zaishen keys, to collect Zaishen keys, and the ArenaNet people are rolling their eyes and going, thanks, that's great. But now that entire account has four mules for potential items for Nicholas the Traveler. Hmm. So yeah, if you're a collector, I'm cool with that. I paid the extra money, and I actually bought that account through the NCSoft store. Hmm. So, there are ways to do that and it's an optional thing. I mean, I could completely choose not to do that, but there it is.
Yeah, I mean, that was almost like a microtransaction. You bought another account just for storage. So.
Did you hear me say I bought it through the NCSoft store? It was not micro.
That was a macro.
There's nothing micro about it.
Okay, so point number three here from Chiyona. It says, the way they presented the stones was less than ideal. Calling a lack of customization, quote, flat out unacceptable is going to alienate players when they hear you make it acceptable by charging them every time. If instead they had emphasized the great number of awesome max stat armor sets and then added something like, for those who miss their low-level looks, a cosmetic upgrade will be available in the in-game store. I think people wouldn't be so quite so up in arms. Of course, ArenaNet wants to sell in-game store items, but I think they should focus on selling the game or making the game. Zing.
Okay, I am sorry. I really like Chiyuna. Cannot get on board. What do you think they've been doing the past year? They have sold the heck out of this game. People are freaking out. And I'm done now. Sorry, but it's been a year of just stuff that thrills us, and this is the first... We've got one whole cash shop item. I said cash shop again. But they have sold the game, and they're making the game. We've seen so much. So yeah. I think they are, and I think one little cash shop item is not that bad. I'm sorry, Chiyuna. Yeah. Number four.
You don't have to apologize to Chiyuna. She's a big girl. She can handle it. Okay, number four. Really, my biggest problem with these is that the stones solve a problem that does not currently exist in Guild Wars. I find it disheartening that they offer a paid solution to a problem they are creating. I think that's a good point, actually. And it goes on, in Guild Wars, we have a costume slot that allows us to cover the armor we have for stats and display something else instead. Other MMOs also allow costume slots that let you put pretty armor on one side and good stat armor on the other side and have the best of both. The only reason I can see not to use this in Guild Wars 2 is that they want to make money. I'm fine with them making money. I'm sure that I'll be buying the stones and storage slots to hold all the armor I want to use the stones on, but I think it's a shame that I'm stuck with a harder-to-use system because of it. Instead of an easy drag-and-drop, I have to create new sets each time I want to look different. And it sounds like you lose the original armor in the transmutation process, which means indecisive people like me can't change our minds as easily. But the original Guild Wars offers other solutions, too. Remember at first when all the monks wore those tattoos so that they could have armor that gave energy? They changed the armor to the insignia system, and then we could all wear what we wanted. Yes, I read the part about crests in Guild Wars 2, but that seems to be a separate bonus. I'm assuming it is more than AL that is inherent to an armor. Why not make insignias again to let us change that? Or, if it is only AL that is inherent to an armor, how about make armor that changes its AL based on your level, like hero armor does in Guild Wars? I would much rather buy something like a reinforcing stone that lets me just up the armor to stats appropriate to my level and doesn't make me lose other armor in the process. So, what do you think about that one?
I think people are making it out to be harder than it's going to be. And I don't think they're deliberately saying, let's word everything to make it sound like a giant pain in the butt and something that I have to spend 45 minutes doing. It's not like a daily quest. Mm-hmm. It's just, if you find... I guess this part of this is just my opinion. It looks like there are going to be an insane amount of armors. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that people will not... be able to. I can't believe that people will have such a hard time finding something that they love that they have to go to the store, go to the item shop, buy a transmutation stone, and go through all this rigmarole every single time they want to look different. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that. I just find it hard to believe that people will have that hard of a time finding armor that they like in this game.
Yeah, you just think that there's going to be an easier way.
I do, and yeah. I guess I'm doing the same thing in the other direction. I mean, I feel like people are really trying to make this sound like a bigger deal and a more complicated system than it is. Or they're going for the worst case scenarios and saying, well, you know, what about this, 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 and this, and this, when we don't really know what the situation's going to be. And I guess I'm kind of doing the opposite and saying, you know, from what I've seen, it doesn't look like it just doesn't look like that to me. So I guess that's completely an opinion thing, but I just don't think it's going to be as awful as everybody's making it out to be.
Yeah. I like a lot of her points. I think that the hero armor thing would be interesting if it automatically changed stats, like, you know, the higher level you get, but I don't think that would be a big hit. You know, people love to have goals. They like to get newer armor. They like to change, you know, they like to have something to achieve, you know, achievements. And if you just got one piece of armor and it, you know, and it just like stayed the same, you know what I mean? Like, and the stats change with you, I don't think that that would be as big of a hit. I mean, that's half of the fun of a lot of these games is finding the stuff, you know, getting the stuff, the newest stuff. So I just think that this is a tool. I think transmutation stones are a tool in kind of, expanding stuff.
I can see that.
So I don't think that's a huge problem. But one thing I did like that she said here is she finds it disheartening that they offer a paid solution to a problem they are creating. That is something, like I mentioned before about the storage thing in Runes of Magic, it's something that wouldn't be there. I mean, they're charging. It's like if somebody was standing outside your door, throwing rocks at you, and then they're selling, a shield or something. Like, hey, if you buy this shield, then I won't, you won't get hit by these rocks I'm throwing at you. It's like, wait a minute, what? Just stop throwing rocks at me. So, that's a horrible.
I can really see. No, it's awesome. I love it. I can actually see that. And I'm not completely not on board with what she's saying. Uh-huh. I'm about 50-50.
Okay.
So.
But yeah, I am. I completely agree with her with that part, because I think that is something that is kind of sneaking into our MMOs these days. It's like maybe we'll introduce this little thing here where, we'll introduce a problem and a solution to it, and the solution will cost money, and maybe no one will notice. And I don't know. I could go on and on about that.
I can see the point of view. I absolutely can see the point of view.
Yeah.
I hope that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, me too.
I hope they're not throwing rocks at us.
Yeah, because I'm not buying a shield. Okay, point number five. This is the last point here, number five. It says, weapons. That's a sentence in its own, weapons. Remember what the inscription update in Guild Wars did to the gold weapon market? Yes, I do. If these transmutation stones allow you to change the stats of any weapon, the only thing that will ever matter is the value in the weapon's skin. I feel like this makes these really nice drops a little less special. Furthermore, can you imagine having to buy a transmutation stone whenever you want to modify your weapon inscription? I'll give Anet the benefit of the doubt and assume it is only used for increasing a weapon's damage range, but if you need one for other mods, it seems a bit crazy. Really, I hope ArenaNet makes a lot of money with Guild Wars 2. I'm happy to buy extras in the in-game store, but I wish it were the kinds of things we had in Guild Wars instead. I feel that them presenting these stones as the perfect solution to a problem that doesn't even have to be a problem is frustrating. I know how clever the guys at ArenaNet are, and I'm disappointed that they choose to do it this way. Chiyuna. P.S. I also really love Elementalist Azir. How do you pronounce that?
I don't know. That's why I called her the Elementalist Trainer. Her armor, though.
Yeah, her armor. Yeah, that's the one you were talking about in pre-searing.
Yes, it's so cool.
Apparently, it was available as a player armor set during the beta, but had some issues and was removed before Prophecies.
And then they gave it to that stupid henchman that keeps doing pick me in my guild hall. I will pick her, and I will make her trade clothes with me.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? I do want to... Come back to me. I do want to address her point, and actually this goes back to, I think, her first point. I have to scroll up here and look. This goes back to, as far as using a transmutation stone whenever you want to modify your weapon inscription, that to me, if I understand what she's saying, it's kind of like saying, well, I have to use a transmutation stone every time I want to put a different element focus on my weapon. Why don't you just, I have an earth staff, a water wand and focus, I have a fire staff, I have a water staff. And that's like saying, well, every time I want to switch elements, I have to switch up my weapon and buy a transmutation stone. Mm-hmm. And I think there are so many good weapon skins, just from what we've seen, that you'll just have different ones for different needs. I don't know how much of a problem that's going to be. Mm-hmm. So, and that goes back to the same thing. She said something back in point one about, oh, I found better armor, and log out, go to the in-game store, da-da-da-da-da. But you don't really have to do that right that second. It's okay if you wait until after the event that your group is doing together, and then you go back and play with that when you have time to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So it's not... See, some of these things I'm not sure you're going to have to do.
Yeah, and we're speculating on stuff that we really have no idea how it's going to work,
Y'all are. This is just my eternal optimistic speculation.
Yeah. I'm just of the opinion that you know, it's going to be solved. I mean, if the game launches and we're in the game and I see problems with this stuff, then I'm going to be like, okay, you know, this is something I have to rant about and complain about.
Absolutely.
I'm not afraid to rant, as you well know. But I just feel like right now it's a little too early, and I'm just really kind of, you know, I'd hate to make a ass out of myself by, you know, complaining about something that isn't, might not even happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that everybody is making an ass out of themselves. I can understand the frustration. I can understand. I mean, this actually, you know, you think about it, this has to be really kind of exciting for ArenaNet that people are this passionate about this. You know what I mean? Like, this is incredibly, like, life-ruining for so many people. You know, just the potential. Like, it's not even in the game. The game isn't even launched, but just the potential is there, and people are going nuts over it. And ArenaNet's got to be like, wow. You know, we're like, creating, you know,
life-ruining experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's kind of incredible when you think about the impact that they can have, and that they, you know, that they're having mm-hmm. with the community and just at gaming in general. I mean, this game. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that really I think is what puts it all into perspective. When you hear just normal MMO players talking. When they talk about, you know, the future of MMOs, what's, you know, what's next year going to bring? What's 2011 going to bring to the MMO scene? I mean, I've watched so many kind of general MMO shows and general gaming shows talk about this stuff and websites and everything, and they're always like, yeah, you know, Cataclysm's going to be great at the end of the year, and then we have Star Wars. Yeah, Star Wars is going to be great. And then somebody brings up, well, what about Guild Wars 2? And they're like, oh, Guild Wars 2, oh, that's going to be the best game of the year. You know, that's going to change. And then you always have one guy in the group saying, well, yeah, I played Guild Wars 1. I didn't really like it. It's not really an MMO, blah, blah, blah. But they recognize the fact that Guild Wars 2 is just so incredible, and it's gonna just change everything. So what I'm trying to say here is that we're going to bring in a lot of people besides these people who are complaining on the forums, you know, the people who have been hardcore since day one. We're going to bring in a lot of people to Guild Wars 2. A lot of people are going to be trying this out. You know, people are going to be leaving World of Warcraft for it and leaving their favorite games
oh,
for
Lord,
it.
Oh, Lord, now you did it.
It's a WoW killer. Oh,
ah,
wait,
take that back quick.
But I, you know what I mean? It's just, it's going to bring in so many people and so many different types of people, people who hated Guild Wars 1. So ArenaNet has to look at this. You know, they have to look at the bigger picture here. Yes, they have these people complaining on the forums, but these, it's forums, number one, and forums are made to complain. The people, you know, saying people are complaining on the forums is like saying people in the pool are wet. You know what I mean? it's one of those things that's just going to happen in a forum. So I really hope that they don't look at just the forum complaints and say we need to change everything we've planned because of, you know, these couple thousand people who would complain if we said that it was free ice cream day. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just hope that they look at the bigger picture. I think we've kind of shown that here with our email and with the response we got on the comments. I mean, anyone can go read the comments, and they're kind of mixed, but a lot of them are really passionately saying, stop complaining. You know, that this is just the way things are going to be. And they're trying to make money. So with that little rant aside, I guess we should go ahead and wrap this show up. What do you say?
Oh, I was having fun with the whole rant thing happening. But yeah, we've gone for a long time.
Yeah, and I didn't get through even half these emails, but we'll try to read a few more of these next time. Mm-hmm. And thanks everyone for writing in. You know, we definitely enjoy the emails. We enjoy we enjoy the opinions. We love to read all of these and see what the, you know, the Guildcast community and the Guild Wars community is thinking and saying. So yeah, definitely thank you for all that. Thank you for the comments, the emails, the tweets. I mean, we get, you know, retweeted stuff, and it's been really great. So, you know, this last conversation, the last week has been really great. So I encourage you to keep doing it. Keep writing us. Keep commenting. We have our Twitter and Facebook pages where you can contact us. You can reach either of us or both of us at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, and Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. You can check out the website at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. Either one works. So, yeah, I think that's about it. And hopefully next week we'll have a Mesmer reveal. I'm going to say that at the end of every single show.
Eventually you'll be right.
Yes, eventually. And then I'll be like, see, I knew it. I knew this was the week. All right. So until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.